On episode 57 of Acoustic Tuesday, you're going to learn how to properly prepare when playing guitar. You're going to find out about folk music's Indiana Jones, and I'm going to tell you about my bear encounter. All that and more right after this.
If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite.
Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 57. This is a show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all Acoustic Tuesday episodes, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week, which contains gear, documentaries, books, you name it. If it's guitar geeky, it's on there, and you need to know about it. Now, usually I dive directly into trivia, but today I'm going to run the show a little bit different. I've got a great trivia question for you, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later. First, I want to introduce you to the person that's actually making this happen, and that is, of course, Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr., the first. Noah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing excellent.
Looks like you might have gotten some sun. Where did that happen?
I got a little bit of sun. You can tell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. Yeah, well, I went to the beach, Tony.
You did?
Yeah.
Right here in Montana.
No.
Because Montana's right up against that Pacific Ocean.
I actually went to the beach. I went to San Diego. I went to Ocean Beach, San Diego.
It's true.
And
We did.
And we surfed.
We did. Well, you surfed. Levi surfed. I tried to stand up. That's kind of how it went.
You, don't beat yourself up. You did good. I think there'll be some footage at some point.
Yes. I had a lot of fun on scooters as well, but we'll share that footage with you when it arises. I'm not sure where it ended up.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But on to acoustic goodness.
Okay. Like I said, I've got a killer trivia question for you. I'm not going to do it quite yet because I want to share with you something that is extremely important to your guitar journey. Something that I think everybody should do, and something that I don't think anybody actually sits down and takes the time to do. And that is stretch. Yes, stretch. That's exactly what I said, stretch. Guitar playing is a physical activity. So I'm going to share with you a quick stretch routine that you can do before you play guitar that's going to really help you sync with the guitar, that's going to actually help you play faster, and that's actually going to help you maintain good proper posture and awesome technique. Now, before I go any further, let me just say this. This whole stretching routine came as a result of me going to the chiropractor. Okay, I was going to the chiropractor. I've been going for a long time just to get adjusted. I do a lot of running and stuff like that, so it tweaks me up sometimes. So I was asking the chiropractor, actually as a result of a comment either left on Acoustic Tuesday or at Tony's Acoustic Challenge, about adjusting my hands. Somebody said something about the chiropractor adjusting their hands. So I was like, oh, I gotta ask about this. Anyways, so I ask about it, and she said, well, if you're having problems in your thumbs, which is where I hold all my tension, all my tension's in my thumbs kind of get really tight and lock up. She said, that's actually a result of the back of your neck. I forget what she said, C3, C5, C3PO, I don't know, some chiropractor term. Anyways, so she went ahead and did some adjusting on my hands and things like that, but she said, you know, it really is a result of your neck. It all starts here and then comes down your arms. So I asked her, well, what can I do to prevent this? And she showed me some basic stretches that I want to share with you that really have made a huge impact. I've been doing them for about three and a half weeks now, maybe even a little bit more. But anyways, these stretches have made a significant impact in how comfortable I am playing, how long I can play the guitar, and the tightness that I normally hold in my thumbs. It's pretty much gone. So I wanted to share this with you. First, I should say this. I'm going to show you these stretches. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the internet, TV, radio, or any other media outlet. So please, before embarking on any sort of physical activity program, consult your physician. I think I have to say that. And there, I said it. So as far as stretching goes, as my doctor said, it starts in the back of your neck, and that's what kind of results in tension all through your arms, your shoulders, your arms, forearms, hands, etc. So what I want you to do is actually start out by rolling your neck. Just roll it from side to side, get it nice and warm, and then you're going to go ahead and stretch it out. Take your left hand, grab the right side of your head, and just pull it gently towards your shoulder. You get a nice stretch along the side of your neck, and then do the same thing on the opposite side, nice gentle stretch on the side of your neck, because we're always hunkered over our guitar. And then do the same thing without your hand this time, but just look at the floor, stretch the back of your neck, and then look up at the ceiling, stretch that front of your neck. And do this for about, I would say, 20 seconds for each side, right? And then we're gonna move on to your shoulders. Go ahead and roll those out, roll those backwards, roll those forwards, just warming them up, getting the blood flow. And then go ahead and take your right arm, cross your chest like this, and with your left hand, pull it gently towards you. You'll feel a nice stretch in your back, the back of your neck, and also your shoulder. Same thing on the other side. Do that for 20 seconds. Each side, of course, I'm speeding this up for the sake of time here. I just wanted to show you a nice, good, solid routine that'll help you feel really good, not just playing guitar, but just in life in general. Next, your arms, your biceps, and your triceps, okay? So first thing, just kind of shake your arms out, almost like you have bugs on your arms and you just want to get rid of them, just to get the blood flowing again. The whole notion with these stretches is to warm up the muscle group by rolling it out or kind of shaking it out, and then go ahead and stretch it. So the first one is for your bicep. I want you to hold your hand face up, palm towards the ceiling, and then go ahead and take your fingertips and pull them down towards the floor. You're going to feel a stretch right along the front of your arm, the front of your bicep, and even the front of your forearm a little bit. 20 seconds there. Do the same thing on the other side. And then we're going to stretch the triceps, which is the back of your arm. Go ahead and take your right arm, put it on your left shoulder behind your head, and then gently pull your elbow down. Do the same thing for the other arm. That'll stretch your tricep. And then when you're done with that, we're going to work on your forearms. Now, we can't really shake out our forearms, so I'm going to have you knead your forearms. Like if you're making pizza or bread, you got to knead the dough. So take your thumb and your fingers and just kind of massage your forearm, right? The front and back. Just kind of squeeze it. And you'll notice tight areas because when you squeeze your forearm, gently here, we're not wrenching on it, you'll see that your fingers start to kind of move. And you'll notice some tightness as you do this. In fact, this alone is one of the biggest benefits that I've experienced, just kneading the forearm, because that's where a lot of my tightness resides as well. Once you've done that, we're gonna stretch out the forearm. Go ahead and put your hand, palm facing the floor, grab your fingertips, pull them up towards the ceiling. You're gonna get a nice stretch on the bottom side of your forearm. This is gentle. We're not trying to be super flexible, stretch Armstrong here. We're just getting a nice stretch on each part of the forearm. And then point your fingertips down, pull them towards your body, and you'll get a nice stretch on top of your forearm. 20 seconds on each forearm. That one you'll really start to feel some benefits when you're playing guitar. And then let's move on to your hands. There's going to be a couple hand stretches. When I say hand stretches, really we're concerned about the fingers here. There's quite a few finger exercises and stretches that we're going to do. First, shake them out like there's water on your hands and you're trying to get rid of them. And then we're going to actually stretch your fingers apart. I want you to take your thumb and your fingers on your opposite hand, go in between your pinky and ring finger and just spread that out for about 10 seconds. Move along to in between the middle and the ring finger, right, the Spock. Go ahead and stretch that out for 10 seconds. And then the middle and the index finger, 10 seconds. And then we're gonna actually stretch the front and the back of your fingertips, or your fingers rather. Pull your pinky up towards the ceiling very gently. While you do that, move your other fingers to maintain some independence and some overall finger agility. Same thing on your ring, same thing on your middle, and then same thing on your index. If you pull too far back and you can't move your fingers, that means you're going just a little bit too far. So just lighten up a little bit and make sure you can move those other fingers. And then do the same thing down towards the floor. Nice kind of a gentle finger movement there as you pull those fingers. And that'll be a nice stretch for your finger, for your fingers, right? So we go spread the fingers, stretch them up, stretch them down. Do that on both hands. And then last but certainly not least, your thumb. Okay, again, you're doing this on both hands, but for the sake of time, I'm just showing you on the one here. First, you want to warm it up. So I like to knead the kind of meaty part of the thumb, just like you kneaded your forearm. Your thumb and your index finger, just kind of dig around on that thumb meat. I call it the drumstick of your hand, and I'm really liking the term thumbstick because it's like a thumb drumstick. So go ahead and warm it up there. And then what I want you to do is hold your hand like you're gonna cover your chest, hook your thumbs, and then gently pull your thumb down towards the floor, gently, okay? We're not, again, this is not aggressive. This is slow and easy movements. I do this one for 20 seconds because this is a huge stress area for me, and it has really helped both my fretting hand and my picking hand. So that's the basic stretches that I want you to do before you play. Now, even if you can't spend the full time on it, just kind of go start to build that into your playing habit. I think you're going to reap the benefits for years and years and years. In fact, I don't think I know. I've been doing this, like I said, for about 3.5, 4 weeks, and I have noticed a huge difference in my overall stamina, how I feel after the guitar. When I wake up in the morning, my hands aren't sore. And I play for a pretty good chunk of time each day. So this has made a huge benefit for me, or made me grow leaps and bounds. And I want you to as well. So I just wanted to share that. Remember, starting with the neck, working to the shoulders, then the arms, then the forearms, then the hands. Warm it up first and then stretch it out. 20 seconds on the bigger muscle groups and 10 seconds on the smaller muscle groups. So there you have it. That's just a basic way to get prepped before you play, so that when you go ahead and attack the guitar, that's kind of aggressive, but when you go ahead and sit down and play the guitar, you feel kind of in sync with it already. Like you can already do things and you kind of limit that warm-up time. So I hope that benefits you, and it certainly has me, again, which is why I shared it. And again, I'm not a doctor, so please consult your physician again before you go through any sort of physical exercise program. Now, I did promise you a trivia question, so I'm going to go ahead and unleash your Guitar Geek trivia for the day. Here is your Guitar Geek trivia question. Bluesman Skip James recorded for Paramount Records in 1931. Those recordings sold poorly, being that they were released during the Great Depression, which actually caused Skip to then drift into obscurity. Who was responsible for rediscovering Skip James in 1964? Was it A, Alan Lomax, B, Bob Dylan, C, Win Strachey, or D, John Fahey? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I will be sure to give you the answer. Now, this is normally where I visit the mailbag, and I'm going to go ahead and do it because stuff came in. Noah, stuff came in.
I'm not surprised. What did you get this week, Tony?
Well, I would like to say that we got these things because both of these items we can enjoy together.
Oh.
My name is on the address, but okay. We can enjoy them together. Is
great.
That okay?
Great. Yeah.
First, I got the UK magazine Guitarist, and I've kind of been, the whole notion with this magazine, I started out a subscription to Acoustic Magazine, and then they didn't do that anymore, but they gave me a subscription to Guitarist. And then I was like, oh, it's an all-electric guitar. It's not bad, but I really wanted an acoustic thing. But here it arrives this month. And it's A Century of Martin Guitars, 100 years of acoustic masterpieces that changed the world. And I was just leafing through it, and some of the pictures are amazing. So that came in. I'm super pumped. Noah, you can, of course, indulge in that if you wish. And speaking of indulging, Noah, you know our friend Carolyn from Santa Cruz Guitars?
Yes.
Do you know of her?
Yes.
She is one of the kindest people.
Bass player, too.
I've ever met.
Right?
What's that?
Bass player.
Bass player.
Yeah.
Of the Carolyn Sills combo. Fantastic kind of swing country. It's really good stuff. You got to check it out. She sent us some libations. She sent us from Santa Fe Spirits, the Silver Coyote Pure Malt Whiskey. All this is 92 proof, 46% alcohol by, is it alcohol by volume? Is that
ABV?
What they say?
Yes.
Yeah. So this arrived. So thank you, Carolyn.
Awesome, thank you.
We are going to dive into that. We certainly have been enjoying the Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner that you sent. In fact, that's Noah's favorite guitar. He says that to me every time it comes out of the case.
It's true.
I love that guitar, man. It's so light. It's amazing. Anyway, so thank you, Carolyn. Noah, I can't wait to share a glass of this with you. I'm excited. I'm used to browner liquids, but you know what? I can do the clear.
We'll do the silver.
I'm not scared of it.
No.
In fact, I got a whole glass of it right here. Okay. I'm sure you all want to hear about my recent bear encounter. Whitney and I went camping in a place here in Montana called the Taylor Fork, and I want to share with you my bear encounter. It was a harrowing experience. We sat down after a long day of hiking at our campsite, and of course I brought my guitar. I was digging around, and I could not find a pick for the life of me. So I went and reached in the pick compartment of my guitar case, and what was there waiting for me? A red bear pick. So I kind of had a bear encounter. I know, that was so cheesy. That was a very dad joke. But anywho, I wanted to share with you all these red bear picks from Cedar City, Utah. They've been making them since 2003, and I found out about these picks, I think, right when they were starting. This was when I was working in Chicago. I ordered a bunch for the store, really dug them, the Style B specifically, and then I found out that they stopped selling through dealers, and they just were selling direct because they make over 30 styles of the pick in 5 different gauges. So for them, I think it's a lot easier for them to just sell them than to take orders and make all these different ones. Now, you got to go on their website and check out. They have a specific page dedicated to styles. It shows all the measurements, the actual pictures of the size and different styles of pick, which I think is cool in and of itself. I mean, just right there, to have a company that makes 30 different shapes of a pick is pretty amazing. But let's talk about the material that they use. First of all, I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. It is a polymerized animal protein. It's basically casein. It's also referred to as milkstone. If you remember way back in Acoustic Tuesday, probably 20 episodes ago or so, I reviewed the Henze picks, which was also a milk casein, a milkstone type product. Same thing with these Red Bear picks, and I love it because they are able to achieve this beautiful, very clear, very distinct tortoiseshell pattern. And that was the whole notion behind the picks, in that they wanted to create an organic material that gave the sound and feel of tortoiseshell, of course, but not using real hawksbill tortoiseshell. So Red Bear picks are a result. Now, they come in 5 different gauges. I think there's double extra heavy, heavy, medium, and light. Real quick note on the medium and the light picks, and I would say even on the heavy picks, this material is very stiff and it's very brittle. And usually when, as guitar geeks, when we're first checking out a pick, you go ahead and flex the pick in between your fingers and your thumb. Don't flex these picks. They will break because the material is so brittle. And you're thinking, well, Tone, why on earth would they make a pick that's brittle that would break? It's not about the flexibility of the pick. It's about the stiffness of the pick and the organic sound that you're actually getting from the pick. Now, I ordered 3 different ones. I ordered the Style C, which is a little bit fatter in the standard tortoise shell with the hole grips in the middle. And then I ordered the Classic H, which is your standard teardrop. This is done in their kind of a jade type turquoise pattern. Both of those are heavy. And then they have this other material called Tough Tone. And it is very different than the casein picks, okay? The Tough Tone picks are way beefier, way stronger, and super flat, and you can actually flex them. They're not gonna break. And I really dug this one as well. This was new to me. I ordered this in a Style B, extra heavy, and I really dug it. In fact, I think I like this one the most out of all of them that I tried. What I like about the tone of these picks is that it is organic. It's mellow. You get good articulation, but good note body as well. And you can order these picks with what they call a speed bevel, so it already feels broken in. But here's what I noticed, okay? A couple of things that I want you to be aware of with Red Bear picks. The casein ones specifically, kind of the imitation tortoiseshell. First of all, it is brittle. I already talked about that. Second, these are not the type of picks that you want to keep in your pocket. Because they are an organic material, they can kind of flex and bend, but they can also crack, and they're very affected by moisture and other kind of scratches, right? So if you just throw them in your pocket with change and things like that, could damage the picks. So you don't want to do that. But a good note on the whole flexibility, pliability of the picks, after they're heated, meaning you've been playing for a bit, they start to kind of form, not like a glove, but they start to have this memory of how you hold the pick, which I found awesome. And I'm saying probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks into playing. And I noticed that from way long ago. I had a Style B medium pick that formed. But these ones haven't formed yet because they're fairly new. But that's one of the things I noticed. So on one hand, it can be a little bit of a detriment because the pick is susceptible to the environment. But on the other hand, it's pretty cool because it kind of forms to your hands. Now, these picks aren't meant to last forever. It's an organic material. That's why. One of the other things I wanted to mention as well with this pick is that although it does have a speed bevel, I noticed that they take a little breaking in. They have this kind of almost gritty feel right out of the bag. But after, you know, a week into playing, it really starts to have this, again, this memory, and you start to wear the bevel down uniquely to your way of picking. So I think there's a little bit of a break-in period with these picks, but I think it's very well worth it. The picks sound great, they feel great, and I think, I mean, aesthetically, I know that's kind of low on the priority list, but I think they're gorgeous. So make sure to check out those Red Bear picks. You can get them directly off of their site. Of course, you can find that at acousticlife.tv/AT57. There'll be links to, you can go right to their site and check them out. But the way that they launch the picks is that they're not all available all the time. They do these picker's choice sales. So make sure to sign up for their email list and get notified of those picker's choice sales, because specific styles and specific thicknesses will go on sale at certain times. So you want to be in the loop on that. But these tough tone ones, my favorite ones, these are actually available all the time, to the best of my knowledge. So make sure to check those out. Again, those are Red Bear Picks out of Cedar City, Utah. All right, Noah. This is about the time in the show where I kindly ask you all to tell us what you think of the show. So in the comments below, please let us know where you're tuning in from. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know if there's something that we need to know about as guitar geeks. And of course, as I mentioned before, we want to know where you're tuning in from. So please include, if you leave a comment, if you're just saying hi, please include where you're tuning in from, because it's so cool to see how many guitar geeks we can unite, but also where those guitar geeks are coming from. So please let us know in the comments. And while you're at it, please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Super easy. Hit that red subscribe button. Don't forget to hit the bell, which will give you a notification each and every time a new video goes live. And of course, if you want to never miss an Acoustic Tuesday episode, get it delivered directly to your email. There's a link in the description. Go ahead and click that, and you will never, ever miss an episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, Noah, I'm looking at my list here, and I've got so many handwritten notes on it. My eyes are just like spinning circles. Did you want to share some comments?
Absolutely.
I feel like that's the part we're on, but I keep looking at this. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Did you want to share some comments?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
So we got some shout outs. First, I go to Claudia M. from Jackson, Wyoming. Dave J. from the UK. Mickey U. from Cartersville, Georgia. Ron W. from Las Cruces, New Mexico, Jay Granger from Atlanta, and we have a shout-out. It goes to Keith B. Says, hello from Columbia, South Carolina area, and hoping we dodge Hurricane Florence bearing down on us. Haven't tried the titanium strings yet. Been very happy with Lifespan SP7200s with my Martin D16 GTL, D'Addario EJ16s from my 1983 Takamine J330, and thanks for the great geekdom.
Absolutely. Now, welcome to the geekdom.
Yes. the next one comes from Stephen B. Howdy from Brazoria, Texas. Another great show. And I'm really stoked about referencing Blaze Foley. Texas has its own regional style of music, East Texas Hill Country, Panhandle, and South Texas. I'm a sixth generation Texan, obviously a little biased, but lots of really great music here. By the way, the biggest expense in titanium is the steps involved in refining it. So there's that.
Interesting. That's cool. So that kind of speaks to my question about the price of, like, you know, why $40 for a set of strings.
All right. So very good to know. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah.
And last one comes from Sean M. Says, always enjoy your show here in Central California. I need to order a shirt. That's what he says.
I like that. I like those thoughts. It's a good thought.
Yes.
Awesome. Is that it for the day?
That's it for the day.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gearing up for the next one.
No, I was actually
like
getting ready.
A good breath.
No, I was actually getting ready for, you know, a little bit later, or small wins.
That
will be coming up.
Well, let's first let's talk about what I'm listening to this week before you get to small wins.
Yes.
Actually, this next artist comes from an Acoustic Tuesday viewer named Alex from Phoenix, Arizona. And he submitted on AcousticLife.tv. In fact, any of you who are out there thinking, man, I hope he features fill-in-the-blank artists, please share those artists with me. In fact, if you have a product that you want to share with us too, just go to AcousticLife.tv. In the top menu, you'll see a submit link. You can go there to submit your guitarsonal photo, but you can also submit gear recommendations, artist recommendations. So make sure to do that because this very artist came through that channel. The artist, and I hope I say this correctly, this is way out of my comfort zone as far as pronunciation. okay, this artist's name is Boubacar Traore, also known as Car. I'll get to that nickname here in a second. He's from Mali, and this is what Alex says. He says, I've been listening to Traore for 6 years now. I love his style and sound. It's got a great rhythm, a conversational style, and it's different than most of the guitar styles people are listening to. Check out his album, Mali Deno, which is my favorite. It has some really wonderful guitar music on there. He's really awesome and deserves a bigger following. And after listening to Boubacar Traore, I am super pumped because it's the kind of music that you can just play and zone out to. And the reason I say that is for two reasons. Number one, vocally, it's kind of very it's not English, so I can't sing along to it. But it's very it's a treat to listen to because it kind of puts you in a trance. And the same thing with the guitar playing. It's now Boubacar is a self-taught guitar player. He plays kind of a two-finger style, and I would liken it to blues. But it has some different note selections in it that I think are really interesting. And most of the songs, from what I've listened to, are very riff-based, like the same melodic idea just kind of played over and over again. It's the same phrase is referenced, and it's really, it's like a sonic treat for your ears. So speaking of this sonic treat, I want to share some of this sonic treat with you. Let's listen to this song again. Here we go with the pronunciation thing. Duna Ma Yelema, and this is performed with another fantastic West African blues player, Ali Farka Touré. So let's have a listen to that. That's what I mean by that whole kind of trance induction. It's really like you press play and all of a sudden you're just transported to this dimension where you're just in the zone. I love it. Now, Boubacar started playing in the 60s and kind of rose to some level of popularity. And then it was at a time when I don't think there was a lot of recordings done. But luckily enough for us, he kind of reemerged a little bit later. And there's five albums that I want to cite that I've listened to some tracks off of that I think would be a great starting point for you. The first one was released in 2017, Dunia Tabolo, I believe is how that's pronounced. It's going to be a real test here. The next one is in 2014, Bali Mao. 2011 found him releasing that Mali Deno, and that's what Alex cited in his submission, so make sure to check that one out. 1996, Sagolo. And then in 1992, Car Car, which is actually a nickname he got from playing soccer. And it essentially roughly translates to that he dribbles too much, meaning, you know, he doesn't pass or whatnot, but I thought that was a cool, interesting nickname, a little factoid. But really, like I said, a treat to listen to and a very different style, and one that I think all of us acoustic guitar music aficionados should check out, because it's just fun to listen to, and it's definitely from outside my standard listening zone. So thank you, Alex, for submitting that. And again, that's Boubacar Traore. Hopefully you find out some tracks by him. I did find him on Spotify, and of course you can follow the Acoustic Tuesday playlist. All of the artists featured on Acoustic Tuesday make the Spotify playlist, and it's definitely road trip worthy, I believe, very strongly in that statement. Noah?
Tony?
I'm going to check back in with you.
Okay.
To see if you're sunburnt, number one. You don't look sunburnt. You look like very healthily tanned.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. You don't look sunburnt at all.
Okay.
But I know you have some small wins.
I do. Let's not waste any more time.
Let's do it.
All right, and there we have it.
All right.
Small wins for this week. So I got two for you, Tony.
Okay.
One of them has a little bit of story to it.
I love it.
So, all right. So I'll start with the shorter one first.
Okay.
First one comes from Matt I, who says, having finally taken a Tuesday off from work, I was able to watch an Acoustic Tuesday episode on a Tuesday.
Nice.
Like next time, perhaps a monthly hangout. Feeling more connected to the community.
That's awesome.
So that one was from Matt I. And this next one comes from, looks like, if I'm reading this correctly, Mrs. Sriplo. And here's what she has to say. Here is my small win. I have Lyme disease, and 2 years ago, my health got so bad that I had to put my entire life on hold, including playing guitar. I had already quit playing for my church because of how fast I was going downhill, but eventually I couldn't play at all. Well, I've slowly been recovering, and a little over a month ago, my husband took me to see Tommy Emmanuel in concert for the first time. I've been a huge fan of his for a few years now, and meeting him that night sparked something in me. When I got home, I became determined to not only pick the guitar back up, but actually try to learn one of his songs. I've never done fingerstyle picking since in the 15 plus years that I've played, but I'm slowly learning his song, Haba Na Haba, which translates to little by little, because that's how I've been living these past few years. Little by little, I've been gaining my life back, and little by little, I'm starting to get better at this song. It's difficult for me, but that's just a part of life. I'm just grateful I can play it all right now. And on a side note, I was the only meet and greet upgrade that night, and I was actually able to tell him this story and thank him for making music that helped me get through some really dark times. It's something I will never forget.
Oh my God.
And there you go.
That is awesome.
That's a huge win.
That is like the most incredible small win. That is a huge win.
It's a huge win.
Meeting Tommy Emmanuel in and of itself.
Yes.
That guy just emanates just awesomeness. He's the kind of guy that can walk into a room and just light it up because he's just a nice human. He's an incredibly kind human. But to be able to geek out with him, and then not only that, but to get super inspired and go home and just get after it. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that small win. And of course, thank you all for sharing your small wins. And if you want to have one of your small wins featured on an Acoustic Tuesday episode, please in the comments below put hashtag small win and go ahead and describe your small win. As you can see, they range from everything. I'm talking changing your strings, finding a new set of strings, to attending a concert, getting inspired, and starting to play again. So please share your small wins with us. They're so important on all of our guitar journeys because we need that positivity. We need to keep that positive momentum going and just know that, hey man, I'm a guitar geek. It's okay. And this guitar journey totally rocks. So please share your small wins in the comments. We cannot wait to hear them. And while you're at it, speaking of sharing and things like that, sharing is a good thing to do in general. But the best thing to do is to share the Acoustic Tuesday show because, well, we want to unite guitar geeks. And sharing the show means more guitar geeks are going to watch. That means more guitar geeks are going to subscribe. And that means more guitar geeks are you going to unite. And that's the whole point of the Acoustic Tuesday show. So please share the show with your guitar geek friends, your local store, your guitar teacher, somebody you meet on the street wearing a guitar shirt. Let them know about Acoustic Tuesday and tell them to please tune in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. All right. Mountain time, that is. I had to be specific there. And of course, you can go to acousticlife.tv. All the episodes are available there, including a bunch of extra awesome stuff. I've got two items left, Noah. One is some guitar signals, and both of them are really cool because one of them has the full family. The other one has some pets that I think there's a great story. So I'll get to that in a second. And of course, the trivia question answer. But doing research for the show, I often find myself falling into kind of black holes every now and again, where I think I'm going to research one thing, and then all of a sudden, through the wonders of the internet, I get pulled in about 30 different directions. And pretty soon, I look at my browser, and it's got literally like 60 tabs open, and I'm like, what just happened? So this was the result of one of those black holes and me kind of following the muse. Now, I'm referring to who I'll call the Indiana Jones of folk music, and that is Alan Lomax. Alan Lomax is responsible for recordings of some of the most celebrated Delta blues musicians and world musicians that are out there today. He is the reason we have audio record of some of these musicians that otherwise never would have been recorded or never would have even been discovered. He would go down to the South and just with his field recorder would go and record these musicians that nobody had ever heard of. But somewhere inside him, he knew that this needed to be documented because it was important. Now, I believe, I want to say his father, John, did this as well for the Library of Congress. More on that in a second. But the item that I want to share with you is a documentary about Alan Lomax and his journeys. Now, he did this via funding from the Library of Congress, but at a certain point, and I'm not sure of the chronology of this, he didn't get funding from the Library of Congress, and then he actually ended up going to Europe and doing this on his own, I believe in the 50s somewhere. But he captured some amazing world acoustic artists. Again, of course, here in the United States, a bunch of artists here that we now know and love because of Alan Lomax. But the point I'm trying to make here is there was a documentary about Alan Lomax released in 2004 called Lomax the Song Hunter. And I found a trailer, and I think we all need to know about it. Plus, I'm going to share with you a special little gift that I found also here in a second. But let's watch the trailer.
Not very long ago, there were hundreds of little separate communication worlds. I call them little bubbles of song and delight. Literally hundreds of thousands of these generators of the original.
Almost everything that he did or talked about had something to do with music.
He could get music out of a stone just by telling that stone it was wonderful.
What are you going to record, Alan? Oh, just the world, you said.
The whole world.
¿Conoces Dolores Fernández?
Oh, ya se murió.
Ya se murió.
Song. Yeah, that was the song. And of course, that was, you know, meeting him was a wonderful thing, really.
All right, so good news. That documentary went to DVD, I believe, in 2007. And even gooder news, I know it's not a word, I just wanted to say it, is that you can actually watch that full documentary on YouTube. I've seen various versions of it uploaded. I'm not sure about the quality, and I'm not even sure they're in English. But I believe they are available. It might take some searching. But you can find all that information and links to get the DVD or check out the documentary on acousticlife.tv/AT57. I think it's one of those pieces of music history that we all need to be aware of. Because without individuals like Alan Lomax, and I'm not saying he was the only one, there was a lot of different field recorders, but some of the stuff that we love so much now would have never been preserved in the first place. And it's cool to understand where that came from and how some of these folks got discovered, be them Delta blues musicians, world musicians, or what have you. So again, that's called Lomax the Song Hunter. And now for that little gift that I was talking about. It's not so much a gift, it's more of a discovery I wanted to share with you. Now, Alan Lomax, his father John Lomax, they all did recordings for the Library of Congress. Some of the coolest, I'm talking work songs, interviews, songs from musicians that you may never even have heard of, but are some of the most amazing musicians, literally down in the Delta, just after working on a work crew or something like that, they would record them playing songs. And all those recordings are available for free. You can listen to them at the Library of Congress. I just found the site. I'm probably late to the party here, but you literally can go on the site. You don't even have to create an account. Look up work songs, look up blues, whatever the case may be, and it's just a laundry list of really cool recordings. Noah and I were listening to them earlier today, and it's pretty cool. They're raw. They're really neat. So the website is www.loclibrarycongress.gov. Right, loc.gov, and you can go and search. There's even transcripts from some of the lyrics and things like that. A lot of undiscovered, really cool stuff there. So be sure to check that out, courtesy of Alan Lomax. All right, now let's move right into guitar geekdom, the pinnacle of the guitar geekdom peak, and that is guitar arsenals, guitar collections, right? We got two of them today. The first one comes from Greg B. from Farmington Hills, Michigan. Greg B. says, "Greetings from Michigan. I am still just a beginner, but with Tony's encouragement, I am submitting my nascent guitar arsenal for your consideration. Only three guitars so far, but it's bound to grow. I'm holding my Pride and Joy, my Martin D28 bought for me by my wife. On my right is my Martin 000X1AE Special, which gets the most playing time because being mostly made of laminate, it sits out all the time. And on my left is my Martin D12X1, which is helping me with my left-hand precision and strength. In front is my fan club. On my right is Ollie, and on my left, Bonnie, both long-haired chihuahuas. I have written a song for each of them. When Bonnie hears her song, she comes running. Ollie doesn't much care. Acoustic Tuesday rocks. I have not missed an episode since AT1. Thanks for all the great info, and keep on keeping on. Thank you, Greg, for sharing your guitar arsenal with us. So cool that you got the dogs in there. I love the whole layout of the guitar arsenal. It's pretty awesome. I would definitely consider that an album cover when you record your first album. Next up, we have Josh F. and his son from Naylor, Missouri. In their guitar arsenal, they have, starting with the back left, a 1977 Alvarez Yairi DY57, a 1976 Fender Music Master Bass, a 1992 American Standard Telecaster, and a 2004 Epiphone Les Paul. Up front is a 2016 Martin D18, an Alvarez Silver Bell Banjo, not sure in the year on that one, the Lohr LM500VS, that's a mandolin, 2005 Epiphone Masterbuilt AJ500REVS, a K-Cello Model 110, and he is sitting on a Vox AC15. He says, "The Masterbuilt was a graduation present I bought for myself when I graduated high school. It plays and sounds great. I picked up the Tele and the Epiphone around the same time, and both Alvarezes were his dad's, and his dad gave them plenty of years of heavy use." And then he goes on to say, "We put strings on the cello and tuned it to EADG, and the little guy likes to play along with bluegrass videos on YouTube," which I think is so incredible. We were able to see a lot of bands this summer, including Ricky Skaggs and Flat Lonesome, which are two of his favorites. He loves his music." Well, he's got really good taste. So I want to thank Josh and his son for sharing their guitar arsenal, and of course, Greg as well. If you want your guitar arsenal featured on an Acoustic Tuesday episode, it is super easy. Three steps. Number one, get yourself a guitar arsenal shirt. There's a link right beneath this YouTube episode. And number two, put that guitar arsenal shirt on and take a picture amongst your guitar collection. And number three, the most important, go to acousticlife.tv and submit your picture of your guitar arsenal. Once you go to acousticlife.tv, there's a submit link in the top menu. Just click that, and it's got instructions. You can submit your picture, and you'll be featured on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. And join the guitar geek ranks, the pinnacle of guitar geekdom, the very tip top of the guitar geek iceberg, if you will. Noah's just over there shaking his head at me. All right, we're almost done, but we do have to revisit your guitar geek trivia question. Here was your trivia question. Whose man Skip James recorded for Paramount Records in 1931? Those recordings sold poorly, being that they were released during the Great Depression, which caused Skip to then drift into obscurity. Who was responsible for rediscovering Skip James in 1964? Was it Alan Lomax? That'd be fitting. Was it B, Bob Dylan? C, Win Strachey? Or D, John Fahey? Well, if you answered D, John Fahey, you're absolutely correct. For 30 years, Skip James hadn't recorded and performed, only on rare occasion. In 1964, John Fahey, with the help of blues guitarist Bill Barth and Canned Heat guitarist Henry Vestine, found Skip James in a hospital in Tunica, Mississippi. The rediscovery of Skip James, amongst other rediscovered folk musicians, marked the start of the blues revival in the United States. In July 1964, Skip James and other rediscovered blues musicians appeared at the Newport Folk Festival. Several photographs by the promoter captured this performance, which was James' first in over 30 years. After that, James recorded for Tacoma Records, Melodeon Records, and Vanguard Records, and performed at various engagements until his death in 1969. There you have it, John Fahey and a crew of guitar geeks discovered Skip James. All right, let's have a sneak peek into next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to look at a company's full line of acoustic strings. I'm talking a company that's not associated with acoustic guitars. A luthier channeling the tone of Django Reinhardt. You're not going to want to miss this one. And an acoustic artist that is a chameleon of sorts. I want you to think about that and join me next week on Acoustic Tuesday, which of course you can catch every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on YouTube, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, that is, on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, go to acousticlife.tv, where you can check out everything we've ever done on Acoustic Tuesday and more. Deep dive reviews, extra videos, plenty of artists, and just links to all sorts of guitar geeky things. So make sure to visit AcousticLife.tv. And until next Tuesday, Noah and I wish you the best possible week you could ever have. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next Tuesday on Acoustic Tuesday. See you later.